Now, Dave Healy, our blind Dave, he just returned from China. He was on a challenge for the Albion Foundation, and he returned a couple of days ago. How did it go?
Ni hao.
Oh, that good?
Oh, yeah. I'm fluent in Chinese now, mate.
Have you picked up some of the language?
Oh, yeah. Some of the stuff, you know, like ni hao are ya, bu hao, not good. And a few other phrases, and we were sort of chirping them out every time we come to a set of steps, you know, to the guides. It was, boo, how? And I was laughing the socks off. But, yeah, you know, you try. But I tell you what, you know, Simon, the trip was fantastic.
We should say you were on the Great Wall of China.
Indeed, the Great Wall of China. We spent 5 days on the wall. We covered renovated sections. We covered renovated and unrenovated sections, of, you know, both. We then covered totally unrenovated. We did a bit of rural, and mate, it was incredible. It, absolutely incredible. The wall itself is, well, phenomenal. The history that I learned, or we learned from the guides, you know, again, was brilliant. The culture, totally different. It was a learning trip all the way around. The wall was, I think, originally started in 221 BC, and it started in the Gobi Desert, and it was a sort of a series of spasmodic walls, you know. And then I think it was Emperor Ming at some point in the proceedings decided that we're going to join all these bits of wall up to make it one. And the wall measures, approximately, I don't know, to the inch or to the kilometre or whatever it is, but approximately 21,000 kilometres. Simon, that's one big wall, believe you me. And what was fascinating, it simply follows the outline of the land. If it went up, it goes up, and when it comes down, it goes down. And there's none of this, oh, we'll level it so it's, you know, you could wheel a wheelbarrow or ride your bike up. If it went straight up, the wall went straight up. And if it comes straight down, that's as it was. There were steps all the way along at various intervals, and there was flat, I'm going to say road, it's not, because it's a wall. And it was paved. There was watchtowers at whatever intervals all the way down the wall. There was also fire towers. So that, you know, at periods of points where it was very, very high, so that if enemies were approaching, they could light these towers and people would know. The bricks, they were used, as you can imagine, 21,000 kilometres is a long way. So it went through many, many regions, and there was many different sorts of rock and slate and granite. And they say that, you know, not for me to see, but they were saying that the wall and its characteristics changed to the different locations. And then the one emperor decided that, you know, there was going to be a series of standard bricks made, and he actually had kilns made along the wall at however many million miles of intervals to actually fire their own bricks. I mean, it was a phenomenon. I believe it was around 3,000 years to finish. And to think that it's now one of the new seven wonders of the world, and I believe it's one of the only wall that can be seen from outer space. Simon, I guess my knowledge of it is nothing in comparison to the guides, but what I've learned from them, it was absolutely fantastic.
What about the actual walk itself? Because it's not very even, is it, the steps?
No, it was an absolute nightmare at times. and it was, although it was so exciting, it was great. I mean, for somebody sighted, I guess there was the problems because of the height factors. You know, when you were walking up, as I said, the slopes, you were literally leaning that far forward. Your nose was touching the blooming floor. And then when you were coming down, you know, at times, you could actually have your backside touching the floor as you was coming. It was that steep. You got steps that just wasn't uniform. So even for sighted people, they would have to watch the steps and be very, very careful. And on the unrenovated sections where there was a lot of shrubs, unfortunately, growing out, and it had taken the sides of the walls down, and there was crumbling bricks and crumbling rocks underneath your feet. I mean, it was an absolute nightmare for me. And the guy they had, Ray, UK guy, he was brilliant, along with Deb, because the wife and the kids come along on the trek with us. Deb was brilliant, because I was with Deb probably 75% of the trek. But we come to parts of the wall on the unrenovated. So I was tripping over bricks and kicking them. You know, I was having to find my way myself, as much as they were saying, watch left, watch right, watch left. But then you come to parts of the wall where we literally had about a foot, 18 inches of wall, where it was sheer either side. It had eroded that much. So them saying to me, Dave, just follow. Don't deviate left or right. And I'm thinking, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just following you. And then we had a picture, apparently, that Grace took, where guide was in front, Deb was behind, and my stick was floating around in midair. And they said, because I said, whoops, disappeared. And they said, yeah, it's about 1,000-foot drop beside a my stick. And I'm thinking, ooh, I'll concentrate a little bit more. But it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, Simon. You know, it's you've got to go to that wall. You've got to experience the wall and the walks to actually understand. Because I'm going to find it very, very difficult to explain what it was like underfoot.
We'll give you the contact details later on, because there's plenty of pictures on Facebook, Team Blind Dave. What was it, warm or cold then when you got there?
Temperatures was great, mate. We were very, very lucky, and we'd all said that if we'd have had any rain on some of them slopes, it would have been very, very dangerous indeed. I think one day we hit the dizzy heights of 26, which you didn't really sort of accept, because there's obviously the higher you go, there's a bit of wind. So although it was hot, it was still relatively comfortable. Through the 5 days and in the day when we walked, the temperatures averaged about 19, 20 degrees. But then at night, wow, it went minus. When she was rural, I mean, when we went back into Beijing itself, you know, obviously a city, glass and fumes and cars, you know, the temperature comes up a bit. But while you were out there rurally at night, we were stopping in the lodges. My goodness me, Simon, it was cold. And the Chinese and their lodges, they're basic. We did get hot water so we could shower. But in between the room to your door, which I'll say the room to the door, there was a gap under most of them, I knew. And I'll tell you what, a mouse wouldn't have got under there. A heap of bottoms that have got under there. And then you're making your way to the dining rooms, and, you know, they're giving you all of the Chinese lovelies. And you were sitting in the restaurant. Oh, my goodness. So, it's a good job I took a couple of couches, because Deb and the kids nicked me couch. But it was freezing, absolutely freezing. But, you know, as I said, the whole experience was unbelievable.
I heard that you had a bit of a tussle with a shrub somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I had a slight little coming together with the floor. You know what? I don't even know what happened. Simon, we was on the unrenovated section, and when I say there were shrubs and trees, it was ridiculous. It was like a forest. 1 minute I'm walking, and the next minute I tripped, and then Deb got my left arm in the air, because that was what she grabbed. And as I grabbed this shrub, whatever it was, I grabbed the first branch, and it was just so brittle it snapped. And of course, I was just grappling at branches as I was snapping below my weight. Next thing I know, I'm laying on the floor. I got tree branches shoved in my mouth, up my nose, in my ear hole, scratches all down my arm. But I couldn't do anything for laughing, so I was in tears. And then that started Deb off, so she couldn't sort of pick me up. But it was one of them moments. I mean, I'm only pleased that I never tripped when we was on one of the sides of the wall. Mm. It could have been a long step down. But it was so funny at the time. But there was moments.
And how did the girls get on, your daughters? Did they enjoy it?
Oh, they were brilliant. They were brilliant, mate. There was obviously at the beginning concerns of the fitness of kids on the wall, but I tell you what, they've done the Duke of Edinburgh and they've been training along with us. But the kids were brilliant, and they were backward forwards. There was a group of 21 of us and the 3 guides, and they were great because they kept dodging back to the back, and anybody that was struggling a little bit, they'd give them a little hand or a little bit of encouragement, and then they'd go up to the front, because we was quite, you know, I say separated, it was, you know, 200-300 yards in between us all. And they were backwards, forwards, and they were having a laugh and a joke, and they were sort of life and soul of the party. They kept everybody's spirits up. So I was very proud of them, actually. And at the end, everybody said, you know, they kept spirits high, which was absolutely wonderful. But it's a lifetime's experience for them. You know, I'm guessing in their lifetime, if they wish to, they could go back, but I doubt they will. But it was just one of them moments, mate. It's something that I believe will stick with them for the rest of their lives. You know, from the wall itself, from the lodges, from the culture that was hinged on the lodges, from the bits of language that we've picked up. And then when we moved back into the city, Beijing, it seemed it wasn't a different place, but it was a different place, if you know what I mean. It was, you're back into the big city regime, aren't you? But I mean, the language fascinated me as well. So, I mean, I'm joking, and people or any Chinese listening will be thinking, "Where's he from?" You know. But it's like when I say "bu hao," and that means not good or no good, sorry. But then you've got the good, which is the hao. But you've got hao, which is flat. You've got hao, which is like an octave higher, and then you've got hao, which is even higher. And that hao, depending on what sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, pitch you put to it, means three different words. So you could be thinking you're asking for, I don't know, an ice cream, and you might end up with a ride on a bus. You know, it's absolutely fascinating, the language.
Well, we'll stop you there before you say something that offends, you know, billions of people.
Never.
And it's good to have you back safe and sound, my friend, and all the family. How can we follow you? Because there's loads of pictures, as I was saying.
Oh, blimey, yeah. I mean, my website is blinddavehealy.co.uk, but we don't tend to put many pictures up on there these days. It's all done on sort of the social media aspect. Blind Dave Healy on Facebook, and at Blind Dave Healy on Twitter. And, yeah, I'm told there's plenty of photographs. There's a few videos out there of the trek and interviews, and I believe that the foundation, the Albion Foundation, over the next couple of days will be putting a comprehensive video, you know, of the trek. But you know, what an experience, Simon! What a true experience. I mean, you know, 7 marathons around the world, top to toe, Alcatraz, the desert, but the China, Great Wall of China, should I say? It now just sit there amongst them. Got some fantastic memories, and hopefully I'll put it into words over the next days or weeks and send it up to you. But how I'm going to do it, I don't know, because you really need to be there to understand and to experience what it's all about. But it was fantastic.
Well, glad to hear it, Dave. Thanks for joining us. I know you're probably jet lagged, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Indeed, sir. For now, boo, sheshe.
Exactly.